Let's get ready to football! Hello and welcome in. You're listening to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast with your hosts, David, Thomas, and Colton.
Hey guys, and welcome back. This is the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. Not the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. Good news and bad news. The good news is you got to hear my voice first. The bad news is because of that, Thomas decided not to be on the podcast. When I mentioned, I'm like, what if I spoke first? And Thomas was like, I'm out. He just had was having no part of it. And so he's not here today. But Colton and I are here. So what's up, Colton?
Oh, you know, just another day here on the ranch.
Oh, perfect. I love the ranch.
Yep.
The Let's Get Ready to Football ranch.
Yep, that's the exact one.
Okay, perfect.
the hot take, not your average ordinary podcast. We got a lot of good stuff today. Got a lot of debate, and I can already feel it.
Oh yeah. Well, we're talking about this quarterback class today, and I don't know if you guys have heard, but this is a pretty kind of loaded quarterback class. I mean, it's a weird quarterback class. There's definitely some debates to be had here. Colton and I have debated at different points in the process over some of these guys. And, I've been waiting for weeks for this episode.
Yep, we're ready for it.
All right, so we're going to go over our top eight. Top eight. It's quarterbacks. We're going to give you a little bonus. Colton, would you like to kick us off?
With the bonus or what?
With the bonus number eight. What's okay. The bonus? You have a nine? Is that what you're saying? You have a ninth quarterback? Is that the bonus?
No. I'll let you take number eight. I think your number eight was the same as mine because I want to talk about number seven.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, just
I guess you just don't even want to talk about number eight, which I can't blame you, to be honest. Okay. Davis Mills, Stanford. Yep. I'm just gonna list some names, Colton, because there's been a lot of buzz. All of a sudden, Davis Mills is gonna be a first round pick. I'm gonna list some names from the past: Brett Hundley, Jake Fromm, Jacob Eason, Davis Webb. There's always that guy that the draft people, I don't know if it's the draft people, I don't know if it's agents, I don't know if it's just what it is, but there's always that guy that people like to pretend is one of the guys. They try and squeeze him in there.
Daniel Jones.
He never gets in there. Well, Daniel Jones was a first-round pick, but Daniel Jones shouldn't have been in there. You're right.
Well, I'm just saying, if you were talking – anyways, keep going.
Yeah, Daniel, I see what you're going, but I'm going more – like, I don't think Davis Webb's even going to be a first-round pick. I think he's going to be one of these guys that's like, you know, there's a ton of hype for, and people try to pretend like he's going to be a first-round pick, and all of a sudden he's a fourth- or fifth-round pick, and no one cares about him. That's Davis Mills, former five-star quarterback. He's very average from what we saw this season. I didn't see anything from him that made me excited. He's not – doesn't have a giant arm, not that athletic. Not that poise in the pocket, not super dynamic or intelligent, getting the ball out of his hand quickly. He's played, like, what, eight games? Six games, something like that in college football.
Yeah, a very low amount for a starter.
Yeah, I mean, he's not terrible. To me, he's the perfect type of sleeper guy that you look for as a developmental backup. You heard that right, a developmental backup. Not a developmental starter. He's not the guy that you take a flyer on hoping to be your starter. He's the guy that you take and, like, hope that in a year or two he's a pretty solid backup for you.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I've been hearing the hype. Davey and I actually had a conversation about this last weekend, and, you know, I've been hearing the hype about Davis Mills and how people think he's going to go in the first round, and we couldn't necessarily figure out why. Like, you know, he – was a backup for a little bit. And I mean, there's other guys, you know, that have come in, you know, that, you know, have been sitting behind an established starter, you know, and they've beat him out, you know. Kelly Bryant at Clemson, you know, Trevor Lawrence, like, he was just too good. The coach had to put him on the field because, you know, and it's not because Clemson was doing anything wrong. They probably could have won a national championship with Kelly Bryant, you know, but it would have been a lot harder. Trevor Lawrence was just that good. Davis Mills was not that type of talent. As far as I can see, this is where the first round comparisons come from. I'm looking at a picture of him right now online. He kind of looks like Andrew Luck. And they both played for Stanford. And they're both pro-style quarterbacks, although, I don't know, Andrew Luck is a little bit more than just a pro-style quarterback. You know, he's definitely got that athleticism and just insane, uncanny arm that can throw off of all platforms. And, yeah, I do not see that with Davis Mills. I see a guy who I would want to draft in, like, the fourth round or so to be my backup quarterback. And that's where he's going to stay. But someone else can take a jump on him as well. Now, there's another guy that I would like to draft in, like, you know, the third, fourth round. But this guy is not a developmental backup. This guy I truly see as a developmental starter with just untapped potential. Now, I don't like to use the word potential. I think we've talked about it a few times before. But that is exactly what number 7 for me has. Kellen Mond. The guy has a great arm, you know, played in that air raid offense at Texas A&M, sorry. And he's kind of got it, you know. He didn't quite put it all together. He had some crazy, insane college games, just flinging the ball all over the place. You know, he's athletic. He can get around, but he hasn't quite just put all of it together. He has it, but it's not, like, you know, quite all together. And can he learn it? I don't know, but it would not be a good situation for him to be thrust out onto the field as a starter. I like him as a backup. You know, he's a guy that can come in, you know, probably has the day 3 job through camp, halfway through the season, takes over as quarterback 2. You give him a year or two to develop, and if you've got an old aging quarterback, you know, he's kind of – you can put him in there. Or he'll be maybe, you know, like maybe there's a Jimmy Garoppolo situation where he's got to step in and, you know, show up for a few games and do really good, and then you can trade him somewhere else because you have an established starter and get a really good pick for him. But I do see, like, there's a lot in Kellen Mond that I like. What do you say, Davey?
Yeah, so I have Kellen Mond a little bit higher. I won't spoil it yet. But I think, you know, we talk about tiers. I don't think you and I are all that different on Mond. I think we're different on a few of the players I have under Mond. But I think that we have Mond in a similar tier because I agree with a lot of what you said. He's not, you know, he's definitely a tier break better than Mills. He's the guy that's a developmental starter. But he's not the guy you want playing anytime soon. He's the guy that you take a flyer on. He's the guy that 99% of them honestly just don't work out. But he's that type of guy that you take a flyer on in the third round. He's the Jacob Eason. I mean, he's not that the type of player. He's not in the mold of a player of Jacob Eason. They're different types of players. But, like, caliber, he's that type of player where he, you know, you take a flyer on him. He's super talented. He has some tools. What I really like about Kellen Mond that kind of breaks the tie with a couple of these other guys is I think he's my perfect guy that I love as a backup. I love these guys as a backup. That, you know, honestly, the exact opposite of Mills. I don't love the Mills-type players as a backup because I don't want a guy coming in that's thrown 200 passes in his career coming in as my backup. Mont has 1,400 pass attempts. He's thrown 400 pass attempts 2 separate times in college. He's thrown almost 10,000 yards. He's thrown 71 touchdowns, only 27 picks in his time. But he's a guy that's been there, done that. He's the type of guy that, to me, as your backup, you're not afraid of him. He might go in the game and he might suck, you know. But to me, this is where you get the Taylor Heinicke performances, because you get a guy that's not afraid of the lights. He gets in. He's thrown passes before. He's been in games before. He's been in big games before. And, you know, at least as a backup, you know he's going to come in and not be afraid. He's going to take over. He's been a good leader at Texas A&M. He has all the tools that you want. He has a little bit of that prototypical what you're looking for the last few years of a guy that can throw off platform and can make those type of X-factor plays. Like you said, he has it. So I do like him as a developmental starter, but I do like him. What breaks the tie with me over a couple of these other guys in the same in a similar tier is I think he has a little bit more upside as a backup. But my seventh guy is a guy that might be the most confusing player, one of the most confusing players I've ever watched in my entire life, and that is Kyle Trask. I swear, Kyle Trask must be three different people. And someone changes into that jersey three different ways. Because there's times you watch Kyle Trask and you're like, oh, man, he can move a little bit. You know, he has a little bit of an arm. And then there's sometimes you watch a guy that's super slow and clunky and can't make throws on the run and has a noodle arm. And it just makes no sense. I don't see as much of the upside with him. That's why he's a little bit below as my number seven. He does have it. He doesn't have the tools that Mond has. He doesn't have the leadership, in my opinion, that Mond has. He doesn't have the production that Mond has. And so to me, like I said, I wouldn't have him a ton different in my rankings, but those are the type of things that break, I guess the not necessarily a tie, but breaks them apart.
Gotcha. Yeah.
For me.
Kai, you know, I see a lot of things and they are pretty close, and you know, I don't understand now, looking at it, why I put Kyle Trask at six instead of seven, because, I mean, I guess it's just because you said you didn't like his production compared to him. He was in the Heisman running this year up until he had a bad game. Who was it that they were playing towards the end of the year?
Is it the Oklahoma game where he threw three picks in the first half?
You know, he was he was like neck and neck with Mac Jones is in the Heisman running. Now, I know Mac Jones didn't win the Heisman, but, you know, up until that game. And then, you know, after that, just kind of dropped off. But I kind of see a little bit of similarities, you know, between him and Mac Jones. And I am pretty high on Mac Jones. However, Kyle Trask, I feel like he's less of a sporadic passer and like kind of a crazy playmaker like Kellen Mond, and he's more like an accurate passer. Like, I'm not saying he's like him, but Kyle Trask kind of reminds me of like Drew Brees in a sense that, you know, Drew Brees didn't have the biggest arm. He didn't, you know, run around and make plays a ton, but he could throw with anticipation. He could throw his receivers open, and he's very accurate, you know, could fit things into really tight windows all the way up until last year, which is why he retired. But I see a little bit of that in Kyle Trask. So I could see how it could work out and it could be great for him, but I don't think he has the potential to be a starter in the NFL, but I do think he would be a phenomenal backup for whoever lands him. So,
yeah, yep, could happen. All right, now this is when I know, Colton, you disagree with me blatantly on this one, and I know that 90% of you out there are going to blatantly disagree with me on this one, but this is where I have Mac Jones, quarterback Alabama, all the way down at six. Again, it's not that I think all this trio, because I'll give you it now. Kellen Mond is my number five. I think Kellen Mond, Mac Jones, and Kyle Trask are all super similar to me. The absolute tiebreaker between Kellen Mond and Mac Jones is the ceiling. I don't see it with Mac Jones. I mean, I would love to hear, and I can't wait for you to tell me the difference between Mac Jones and Jake Ferrell. I would love to hear. I don't see it with Mac Jones. I almost want to wait for you to go first, because I know that there's a certain quarterback that you like the comparison to. I don't see it. I don't see any type of arm strength. I don't see any type of upside. He has a little bit of a noodle arm. He doesn't have any athleticism or agility to make a move. It's funny, and, like, this is another thing I can't wait for you to talk about, but I know that you were a little bit of a Tua hater last year. And I think a lot of your concerns became true because, you know, he did have all these quarterbacks. Even if Tua ends up being great, I think a lot of his struggles this year was the adjustment from going from a system and a scheme and an offense and a wide receiver core that was just so loaded to him being put in a situation where he had to do it on his own. You know, I definitely think you were hit right about that last year. Well, Mac Jones, I'm sorry, is in that same system. Is it? He had Devontae Smith this year that he could just throw the ball to and hyper feed him. He had Najee Harris in that backfield. He had the best offensive line in college football, or at least one of them. And I don't know. I just don't see it with him. I see him what I see is about as same as what I saw with Jake Fromm. The only difference is I think he's more consistent with Jake than Jake Fromm, and I think he's more accurate than Jake Fromm. I think he's what people thought Jake Fromm was, where I wasn't quite on board with that. But you know, he's average, accurate, good, solid decision maker. But that's, I mean, when I'm drafting a quarterback in today's game, I'm not trying to get the top, a guy that's going to be the 25th to 30th quarterback in the game, which maybe one day Mac Jones will be. What I'm trying to get is a good guy. I want to get one of the top five. And I just don't see a world where Mac Jones ends up being a top 15 quarterback in the game.
Okay. Well, You forced me. You forced my hand. I was gonna wait until later, but let's just get this out of the way now. Davey alluded that I think Mac Jones reminds me of a certain player, and I'm very familiar with that player. Kirk Cousins is a quarterback. A lot of people are kind of comparing Mac Jones to, and I see it. I definitely can see it in Mac Jones. I think he's definitely a lot more accurate of a passer than Jake Fromm. So Jake Fromm started from his freshman year on, okay? And Mac Jones didn't really start until this year. Jake Fromm, in his best year, was his sophomore year, completed 67% of his passes, averaged 8.4 yards an attempt, threw 30 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. Threw for 2,700 yards. Okay. And I know Mac Jones had a lot better weapons, obviously, around him at Alabama. But wherever he goes in the NFL, he's going to have, you know, at least that caliber of wide receiver. There are a couple teams. Okay, I'll give you that. There are a couple teams that do not have the caliber of wide receivers that he had at Alabama, but you know, he's gonna have that there. Jake Fromm completed 77.4% of his passes, 4,500 yards, 11.2 yards an attempt, and 41 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. A lot more productive in his 1 year as a starter. A full-time starter, you know, than Jake Fromm. He reminds me a lot of Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins, a lot of people kind of laugh, you know, for a while there, I was on that kind of bandwagon with the Vikings where I was like, Kirk Cousins is not the answer. He throws picks late in games. He tries to force things too much. In high-pressure situations, he can't deal with the rush. And those are all things that I thought about Kirk Cousins. And the more I've, like, slowed down and let my emotions get out of the way, honestly, Kirk Cousins is a top-10 quarterback in the league. He's great. He's a leader. You know, he's just kind of one of those unheralded heroes that does not get the credit that they deserve. He has a terrible offensive line. And so many times he makes something out of nothing. He's got great receivers, you know, that'll go up and make plays for him. But I thought Kirk Cousins was a little bit more conservative than what a lot of people did. And I realized this last year. A lot of times he's thrown it out there to his receivers. He's very accurate, just giving them the ball in the only position where they can get it and they can go up and make a play. He gives them chances. He trusts them. He's very aggressive in his downfield attack. And I see that a lot in Mac Jones. I do not think it would be wise for him to come in right away and be a starter. But there's only one guy, honestly, in this whole class who I think can go in from day one, take the starting quarterback job, and just be an amazing NFL quarterback. The other guys, I think all of them need a little bit of time. And it doesn't necessarily even have to be a whole season. They just need to learn how it is in the pros, you know, the difference. A lot of people fail going to the NFL just because they can't necessarily adjust to the lifestyle, the pressure of everything, you know. And then now they have all this money on top of it, so worldly pressures and things get to them that they didn't have in college, you know. But Mac Jones is one of those guys that just loves football. I think he's going to go in there. He's going to learn wherever it is that he's going to go. I think he's going to do great. I see the Kirk Cousins comparisons. I don't think he's going to be a top five quarterback in the league ever. No, but I can see him being a viable starter for, you know, five to 6 years in the NFL, which is a lot to ask for. I mean, look at, you know, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, you know, all these quarterbacks that we've had traded and moved around, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, a lot of these guys, they kind of have their moments and shine like they're the guy, but they can't ever hold it down for more than like 2 or 3 years consecutively. And I think Mac Jones will give you that at the next level.
Yeah, so I just have a little baby review. First off, you went off on a little tangent about how good Kirk Cousins is. I agree. That's why Mac Jones isn't Kirk Cousins. This is a pro Kirk Cousins podcast to a point. I don't know that I'm fully on board with top 10, but he's a guy that I love every single time you guys give him a new contract because it's always one of the – he's always paid as a top, you know, five guy whenever he gets his new contract. But Kirk Cousins is awesome. He's better than most of the quarterbacks out there. He's one of those guys that can do it. Kirk Cousins, in my opinion, Kirk Cousins' best two qualities is his arm strength, his just pure arm talent. He's always been that guy that just has the arm ability. We see it all the time. We see those giant throws downfield to Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs. We see those crazy, a little bit off his back.
Rookie of the year, throws. Justin and then Jefferson, that's, too. Don't forget
him. Justin Jefferson, sorry. And then the underrated part of his game is his off-platform throws because he's not the best athlete in the world, but he's a little bit of an old-school gun. He's a guy that, you know, 10 years ago would have been an old-school gunslinger and be throwing 50 interceptions a season, and we'd love him. He's adapted to this new age game. That's not a dig on his interception ability, but he has that ability to get out of the pocket, play a little backyard football. I don't care if he's an athlete or not. He'll throw off platform, he'll throw off his back foot and sling dingers all over the field. I've never seen Mac Jones throw those type of balls. Never. Not saying he has never thrown it, but if it is, send me the throws because I want to see them. Mac Jones, also, the other part about it, 56th in the call. You talked about his completion percentage and his yards per attempt. 57th in yards per target. Average depth of target, 8.8 yards. There's 132.
There's also a lot of air raids. These teams that throw it out every single play, hucking down the field.
That throw. And there's also equally just as many spread football teams like Oregon that throw a screen pass 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, and I'm not saying he's garbage, but like those are just, like, again, I don't think he's Jake Fromm. Like I said, I think he's what people thought Jake Fromm was. Because I was not a fan of Jake Fromm. I think he's that average.
That, I don't think that's short.
8.8 yards per depth of target. It doesn't matter yards per attempt when you're throwing it to Jalen Waddle or Devontae Smith or Najee Harris and letting them go break tackles. I can do that. Again, I don't think he's garbage, but yeah. So next on my list is, I believe, so for some reason I lost it and I really don't want to ruin it. My next guy is Trey Lance, number four. I don't want to say every tool in the world. Athletically, everything you could ask for. Basically, a running back is a quarterback. I think he could definitely be a top five running back in this class, honestly, if he was a running back. Like, that type of runner. The biggest concern with him is after he doesn't run the football. He's not – I don't see this big arm toolsy guy that people see. I don't see him make off platform throws. He's a short arm, kind of noodle arm guy. I don't see any type of insane accuracy. And then he's thrown 288 passes in his career, 193 completions. He's a long-term project at best.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of people super high on Trey Lance. You know, I think he gets a lot of credit because, you know, Carson Wentz also came out of North Dakota State, you know. It doesn't matter. If you can play quarterback, you know, they're going to find you. It doesn't matter where you play. But I definitely agree. You can't just be a great athlete and jump and play quarterback at the next level. Trey Lance, he's my number five. I am not very high on Trey Lance. Honestly, I would be more excited if my team drafted Kellen Mond, you know, just because of the positioning where they would have to get Trey Lance versus where they'd have to get a guy like Kellen Mond. You know, I would be excited about Kellen Mond. I would not be excited if my team drafted Trey Lance. There's just so much, you know, expectations on him and everything. I know he started just as many games as a starter as Mac Jones has, but he also did not play against near the level of competition. And North Dakota State is the Alabama of, you know, the FCS. Like, they have all the recruits in the world. They're expected to win every single game. You know, when they lose, it's a crime against humanity and a lot of things like that. So I feel like he hasn't gone up against adversity yet. And so that scares me. I don't want to draft a quarterback, you know, who's just had everything easy for him. I want to see someone who's overcome something hard, and that is not Trey Lance. So, very physical guy. Yeah.
And just to go real quick off of what you were just saying, I've heard the same thing, that he started just as many games as Mac Jones. Like I said, he's thrown 288 passes in his career. Mac Jones has thrown 556. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a little bit of a different level of experience there.
Definitely. I agree. And, yeah, I just – buyer beware on Trey Lance. There's a lot of hype around him. Got to be a lot of smoke screens going around.
Do you want to do another one? I think you're behind me.
Yeah, but so Trey Lance is my number five. And my number four, I'll say that he's my number four with an asterisk, because he reminds me a lot of another player who I think he's similar to coming out. And that, so my number four is Zach Wilson. I know that comes as a shocker to a lot of people, because, you know, a lot of people have him too. Supposedly there's some random scouts out there that have him as number one in this draft class, at least, unless that's smokescreen, which, you know, what isn't a smokescreen at this day and age? But I've seen Zach Wilson a lot. He plays Boise State a lot. You know, he doesn't have necessarily the best of weapons down there in BYU, down in Provo, but I see a lot of Josh Allen in him. I remember when Josh Allen was coming out of Wyoming, everyone was just excited about this big, physical, burly Wyoming boy. I guess he's really a California boy, but, you know, he was a cowboy in Wyoming at that time. And, you know, they were excited about the tools and everything, and he had what it takes to, you know, to have it at the next level, you know. And obviously Josh Allen now is a star, and he's great, and he's a franchise quarterback, you know, and he's made it. But early on in his career, you know, we didn't really know until this year if we thought he was going to make it or not. You know, he was more of like a run first type quarterback, kind of like Blake Bortles when he took him to the AFC Championship. just looked to scramble, didn't look to make the throws, you know, had a tough time. Didn't have, you know, Josh Allen didn't have the weapons, obviously, in his first couple of years that he had this last year. And he didn't have the styles of receivers that complemented his game like he does now. But, you know, there were people that questioned whether he was going to make it. And, you know, I didn't know if he would either. And so that's what I think Zach Wilson is that type of prospect. It's kind of a boomer bust. I mean, I've seen his pro day, you know, seen all his crazy throws. The guy is spectacular. I want him to succeed so bad. I want him to succeed a lot more than I wanted Josh Allen to succeed coming out of college. And I think he's got it. I just think he would, just like a lot of other quarterbacks, he would be super blessed to slide just a little bit, sit behind an established quarterback for a year, and just learn, you know, through the NFL. He's going to have a lot of adjusting to do to get up to the speed, you know, of the NFL and everything. And I think it would just hurt his development to throw him in from day one. But I think he could be like a Patrick Mahomes type guy where he sits for a year, you know, gets into it, takes over the next year, gets rid of the whoever dink and dunk guy he takes over for, and he just lets it rip and takes over the NFL. I truly see that in him. But as a prospect right now, you know, not projecting for the future, he's my number four guy. I just don't think he's been as battle-tested and proven that he can develop in others. I mean, Coastal Carolina was a tough game for him this year. You know, it was kind of a weird thing. They just got thrown into it because of COVID and everything. Couldn't really practice for him. I get that. But he did not look his sharpest in that situation. And that's exactly – you know, what he's going to look like in the NFL if he gets thrown in day one. My number four.
Yeah, he's next up on my list, too. He's my number three. I've already listed a few guys for when we were talking about some other quarterbacks. There's a few more. Dwayne Haskins, Mitchell Trubisky, Paxton Lynch, Blake Bortles. One-year wonders. And I can continue going with this one-year wonder list. You know I've deep-dived into this. I deep-dived into this last year, I think, because I've thought every single one of these guys, except for Dwayne Haskins, would be good. These one-year wonders just don't work out very often. Literally, the one-year wonders that have worked out in, like, the last 8 years is Joe Burrow, who looks the part, but he still has to earn it, and Kyler Murray. That's it. That's what we got for one-year wonders. And so the odds are stacked against them. Even more, most of these one-year wonders that don't work out come from schools that aren't playing top-notch competition, and BYU did not play top-notch competition last year. Zach Wilson's a fun player. He's a toolsy guy. Everything that you said, he's got everything you want for. The one thing I'd say is you look at most of these guys that prototypically – you know, the Jordan Loves last year that you want the toolsy guys that you want to make a case for. And most of the time you make a case about how bad they're playing against bad competition, but they also have bad supporting cast. Last year, his offensive line served as one, he had like one of the most time to throw than any other quarterback in college football, which a lot of that was to do with his level of play. And a lot of that is to do with his own talent, but it's something to watch out for. He is a project. He is a heck of a project. And I mean, he's number three for a reason in my book, but he needs time. Like you said, he definitely needs time in my opinion. And unfortunately, I think he's going to go to the Jets and start next season.
So we'll see. Hopefully, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Mac Jones is my number three guy. I've already explained my thoughts about him. I just think, you know, going in as a starter, he's going to be ready a little bit faster than Zach Wilson. But I do think Zach Wilson has so much more upside than Mac Jones. Like I said, no disrespect to Zach Wilson at all. I want him to succeed so bad. I want to like him. I'm not quite there yet. I think he needs a little bit more. My number two guy is, I think, had the most crazy kind of off season or not off season, draft journey so far. And he's a guy at times when I saw him on the field out there, I can't remember what game it was I was watching play. I think it was the Big Ten Championship, and I texted Davey and I said, Justin Fields is my QB1 for this next year, just because it probably wasn't the Big Ten Championship game, actually, now that I think about that. I don't know what game it was. But
it was a little earlier, I think.
But I texted him and said, Justin Fields is my QB1 for this next year. I mean, the guy, he's not quite, you know, it's hard to describe him because he kind of reminds me of Kyler Murray, but he's not Kyler Murray. He's bigger, not nearly as agile. I mean, he is agile and fast, but he's not as, like, shifty and hard to tackle, you know, as Kyler Murray is. I just think he's an amazing – he has a great arm. You know, out of all the quarterbacks that have come out of Ohio State, he's the one that has the best arm. He's got great vision. He comes back from mistakes. He's a guy whose team really rallies behind, makes crazy throws, insanely smart with the football, you know, just like any other quarterback. He's had a couple of bad games. It happens. There's sometimes it does not necessarily go your way, but he is just the level of production that he's on, what he's been able to do with the team he has, you know, the expectations placed on him, the expectations that he wants placed on him, and just more than any of that, just his pure talent as a natural, gifted passer who can see the field, you know, has the vision, has what's necessary to throw guys open. He can throw in tight windows. He can extend a play and make something happen out of nothing. He gives his guys confidence. He makes the players around him better. Justin Fields, I think a lot of the stuff that's being said about him is definitely a smokescreen. I think a lot of guys are hoping that he falls to number 4, you know, so that they can pounce on him, that someone moves up and takes Trey Lance, you know, or Mac Jones or whoever it is. So that they can, you know, be aggressive and pounce up and get a franchise passer. Because I think that is truly what he's going to be. He's going to come in. He beats the Andy Dalton threshold by far of average quarterback in the NFL. And so, you know, he's going to be a starter. He probably can come in and start right away, but it would be better for him to learn just a little bit before he gets thrown in there. You know, I feel bad for these picks that get picked so high and are just supposed to turn around and go from worst to first, because when that doesn't happen, and then all the stuff, they try so hard to make things happen and the talent level around them is not there and the experience is not there, you know, and they just are expected to make things happen, and it just hardly ever does. So I really think he needs not a year. He could come in and start right away, but he doesn't need to be expected to win until, you know, after his rookie year.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I, as a football fan, not as a Packer fan that hates the 49ers, but as a football fan, I hope he goes to the 49ers, sits a year behind Jimmy Garoppolo, and then just takes over. Because in that offense, he'll be amazing. I agree. In my opinion, Justin Fields has the highest ceiling of any quarterback in this class.
Ooh.
Not the highest floor, but the highest ceiling. And I think what's gone on with Justin Fields is absolutely one of the most insane, unbelievable things I've ever seen in my entire life. Most people would lead you to believe he had a down year this year. He improved his completion percentage up 3%. Yeah. He had the highest yards per attempt of his career. He had 22 touchdowns, so he was a little bit behind on his touchdown pace, hint, by like 2 or 3 touchdowns. He did get a little bit more interceptions, up to 6, but then whatever he's lost in that, he's made up for in his rushing ability, because last year, in 2019, he had 484 rushing yards in 14 games with only 10 touchdowns. This year, in 8 games, 383 with 5 touchdowns. So he finally brought that running game into his game. I think the only reason Justin Fields has not gotten the love he deserves is because people wanted him to win, be that Heisman guy, and he never really did that. Hear ye, guys. People in the NFL don't do that. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have an MVP-caliber season every year. Tom Brady doesn't. Peyton Manning didn't. No one does. Like, you have the ebbs and flow, and I think we forget about that in the college game sometimes. Justin Fields just put together two incredible seasons as a college football quarterback. One pretty good season, like not a bad season by any means, but just not as good as the last two have been. And people are killing him because he wasn't a Heisman, wasn't a legit Heisman contender this season. And I don't get it. He, with his rushing ability and his arm, I like to think of him, the closest comparison I can find is Colin Kaepernick with touch, because Colin Kaepernick had that elite speed, that elite rushing ability, and that huge cannon of an arm. Colin Kaepernick never had any touch to his passing ability, though, and Justin Fields has that. And so if Justin Fields can bring it all together, he has a long ways to go compared to this other guy we're about to talk about, maybe. I don't want to give any spoilers. Maybe you have someone different. But I think he has the highest ceiling in the class.
Yeah, definitely, definitely excited for Justin Fields. I think he's going to be a great quarterback for whichever team picks him. It just all depends on his situation placed on him from year one, you know. Now, another guy who I think everybody knows is the number one and have known for years in this quarterback class, who is going to have all the expectations in the world on him from day one. And I don't know if he's going to meet them or if he's going to exceed them, but that's Trevor Lawrence. You said Justin Fields has the highest ceiling. Trevor Lawrence has the lowest floor. The highest floor.
He's absolute bust.
Yeah, total bust. If Thomas were here, he would say that. But, but yeah, total has the highest floor. Just guy's super gifted. He's grown so much from his college days, from his high school days to his college days. He was just, you know, was one of those really physical, just natural throwers in high school. Now, I think throughout college, he really learned to throw people open. He's a leader, you know. He's one of those guys that it's like, you know, if your team is down and needs to make the drive, you can feel comfortable and you know, you never feel safe when the ball is in his hands versus, you know, your own teams. He's going to go to the number one overall to Jacksonville. We'll see what happens there, but I think they're going to change the culture and a lot of good things are going to happen with Trevor Lawrence. He's going to have a very promising career right off the bat. He's the front runner for Rookie of the Year. And let's just say I don't think they're going to finish last in their division this year.
Yes. Trevor Lawrence, pretty good. Pretty good. Yes, he is worlds ahead of Justin Fields, Mac Jones, anybody. He could probably play with his left hand and still be the best, most NFL-ready quarterback this season. Absolutely amazing. I think in some ways still underrated because people don't – I think people underrate his rushing ability, and I think that people have gotten tired of him and just forgotten how good he was. I mean, think about this. Last year we went through a little bit of the lull with him, the prototypical lull that we get with guys that we're tired of where it's like, oh, man, this guy overthrows a pass once every 50 passes. Maybe he's no good. And then he was so good that he overcame that lull. We don't usually see that. We usually say, oh, okay, now this guy's no good. You know, even if he's still the number one pick, people talk about him badly. You know, I mean, you look at Justin Herbert last year, like not nearly the caliber of Trevor Lawrence, but a guy that people got tired of. And the narrative was there that he was garbage. The narrative was there that he's a bust. Trevor Lawrence had that narrative and then overcame that narrative. We don't see that very often. A lot of people say he's the best quarterback candidate since Andrew Luck.
And I agree.
I think he's the best since before that. John Elway. I don't know. I obviously didn't watch John Elway get drafted, but that's the guy that's kind of before the Andrew Luck. I think he was better than Andrew Luck as a prospect. He has better rushing ability. He brought more winning to Clemson than Andrew Luck did to Stanford. You know, any questions that Andrew Luck had was about his leadership, his winning ability, and his mobility. But compared to Trevor Lawrence, he's not nearly the runner that Trevor Lawrence is. He was very athletic, but he's not what Trevor Lawrence has been. Trevor Lawrence has no questions about his leadership. He has no questions about his it factor, his winning ability. One of the most winningest quarterbacks in NFL history. I mean, he's the man. He is the man. He is the number one quarterback prospect in this class. And quite honestly, the number one quarterback prospect in this class, undisputed, and doesn't get talked about enough because people are tired of talking about
definitely. I was super high on Joe Burrow last year. Joe Burrow did great until he got hurt. I'm a lot higher on Trevor Lawrence than I was on Joe Burrow. I agree with you that he's you know, the best he's probably a little bit better of a prospect than Andrew Luck. I just feel like the hype around Andrew Luck was so much bigger than it is for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, don't get me wrong, the hype is big on Trevor Lawrence, but like for years people were begging Andrew Luck. A couple of years, they were begging Andrew Luck to come out of play in the NFL. You know, he was at college and finished all 4 years, I believe. And Trevor Lawrence came out his junior year. You know, so it would be like the equivalent if Trevor Lawrence was coming out, you know, next year because he stayed for the senior.
Yeah, if Trevor Lawrence went back to school one more year, you'd have that same amount of hype.
But it's like almost like, you know, like a LeBron level type hype that surrounded Andrew Luck when he came out. There's definitely a ton of hype around Trevor Lawrence, you know. And I think he's going to be great. There's no question in my mind he's going to succeed at the next level.
Yeah, well, I think that's it for our quarterbacks. It's a shame that our fellow co-host couldn't make it for this one. But, I don't think there's much left else to talk about. What do you think?
Just end it?
Thanks for joining us here on the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Ready to Football Pod, or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/readytofootballpod. And make sure you hit subscribe so you can come back next week and hear another great edition of the podcast. Have a great week.